Hi, this is Christopher Daniel. I've been called many things in my life. Fallen angel, idol of millions, inspiration to children everywhere, pillar of society, and I'm listening to We Be Geeks. And now, so are you. Don't you feel better?
Hey, I'm Joel.
I'm Adam. We are what we like to call the human recommendation engine.
I'd like to recommend that you listen to our new podcast, If You Like. But if you like movies and TV as much as we do, you're going to want to listen to us because we've got some recommendations for you to check out.
We've covered
The Hunger Games,
Breaking Bad,
Cabin in the Woods,
Walking Dead,
The Exorcist,
The Avengers,
Tombstone,
Mad Max,
Firefly,
Rocky, and the hits just keep coming.
Check us out every Monday on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast, If You Like.
You're listening to a We Be Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to another episode of We Be Geeks. We're your hosts, and okay, I can't do it. Yeah, I was going to go, we're your host, and you're not. But yeah, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It is Marty, Jules, and Mike. People recovering from whatever. I don't know.
We somehow all got the con crud. You guys got it from your respective cons that you went to the other week.
No, I never got it from MegaCon. But being at work, but
you got
being,
it now, don't you? It's just a delayed reaction.
No, I'm dealing with shoulder issues, but that's from work related stuff. It's not completely injured. I haven't reported it to work because it's not that stage. But yeah,
that cough. I didn't know you get the cough from that.
That was from peanut. Shoulder. No, that was from peanut butter crackers I had right before the show. So yes, this week's episode is episode 18.1.8. U point convergence point now point stardate whatever.
Did you just forget the episode numbers and you're just trying to make it up now?
Hey, if it works for DC and Marvel, it works for us.
Create your own numbering system, folks.
Who needs that
old math in school thing?
Okay, fine. Then this is episode one because it's the Secret Wars convergence. Ooh. So. How is everyone doing this week?
I got the con cred before I even went to my con this past weekend. So I am that Agent Zero everyone hates because I probably infected part of Chicago whoever attended Z2E2 that week.
If Chicago didn't get it from that, then they got it from that very poor showing called WWE Extreme Rules.
I didn't see none of that. That wasn't even in Chicago, was it?
Yeah, it was in Chicago.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Crap. I didn't even know. Yeah, because there were a lot of wrestlers in it that were at C2E2, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
because not only that, Chicago also going to be home of the NFL draft, like, in 24 more hours here. We're recording this Wednesday, and it's on Thursday. So Chicago getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Nerds, wrestlers, football geeks alike, all in the span of a week.
And, of course, you were there when your precious Nashville Predators got eliminated.
My precious. Yeah, they had a chance. But
that's right.
As soon as we knew that our captain was not coming back, I kind of knew we did. We took him to game six.
Yeah.
Watched most of the first two periods of the game at the squared circle. So we actually out in enemy territory with Blackhawk fans cheering for every one of their goals and us trying not to give our hand that, hey, we don't like you right now. So we did pretty well. I was like, all right, let's get back to the room and make sure we don't get our butts kicked because right now the Preds are, I think they were tied going into the.
So Lisa Marie's coming on the show when?
She was actually out of the area doing a show. I forgot where we looked it up. But she wasn't even in the area. She was doing a show somewhere. She was not at attendance at her own restaurant. For those of you who don't know, Squared Circle, run by former WWE diva Lisa Marie, or her many other aliases that you went by.
I can't remember half.
But I had to go there. We went there last year, and they had the Slobberknocker pizza, and it wowed me so much that I had a dream about it a week after I ate it last year. All right, so I was like, I went to Chicago with my buddy Todd and Al John from We Be Geeks Network, And I was like, whatever we do, I don't care where we eat, we got to at least go to the Square Circle once, because if I don't get a slobber knocker, I just might stop eating. I'll just go on a hunger strike.
That's how you get it, right?
Exactly. That's how I get my way with everything. I'm just going on a hunger strike, guys. So we went and got it. It was good. It's basically, for those that don't know, it's a pizza that they put macaroni and cheese on it, and then chicken strip chunks. They chop up some chicken strip, put it on top, and then some of JR's barbecue sauce on top of that. And I think I figured it out this time. I think it's really the barbecue sauce that actually makes the pizza. That just makes it over the world. Yeah, because that's some good barbecue sauce. Mm. So,
well, hopefully my Minnesota Wild will take care of Chicago.
See, right now, for me, hockey's over. I don't know what you're talking about anymore. Season's done. They just retire the cup, I think. They just put it back in storage. Maybe just draw a name out of a hat, see who gets it next. So, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Well, I really don't know what you're talking about, sir. I mean, I know what the cup is, and I know that everybody's trying to win it, but I'm not really.
I visited your city for a couple of years. You've actually seen it.
I was clueless then, what? Too. I was just like.
Pittsburgh's had it, what, three times? Four total? I know there was
at least twice, I think. So
okay, then it's been four times. Because Lemieux got it twice.
Oh, nice. Maybe I should start watching it, because, you know, I don't know.
So, that happened. But I had a fantastic time while in Chicago.
Well, before we get too far into things, let's recognize some shows on the network. Well, okay, let's recognize all the shows on the network. Obviously, there's us, Weeby Geeks, the flagship of it all. Mighty Marvel Geeks, WDW Tiki Room, WDW After Dark, Talking Comics, Pro Wrestling Cast, Dining at Disney, The Well Watchers, E-Ticket Time, Video Game Book Club, Less Than or Sequel To, which this past week they went with Iron Man 2. They said two out of the three guys hated it, which I think I'm with the one guy who liked it. Two I didn't mind. Geek Watch 1 and the newest show to the network, Doctor Who Dark Journey. It's kind of a serial drama. It's kind of a mix of Doctor Who meets Sherlock Holmes.
So, I like that.
And of course, Mother's Day is coming up, so why don't you hit the Amazon tab or Her Universe or superhero stuff and support the show. Buy through them, cost you nothing extra, but we kind of get I guess what's known in the auto industry as a bird dog fee. It's sort of like a finder's fee or a referral fee. That's their way of thanking us for referring you guys to them and getting them more customers. And of course, on Amazon, you can always get Audio-Technica headphones, like the Sonic line, which is great for your mobile devices because they've got the inline microphone and volume control. Or if you're a gamer, check out Audio-Technica's gamer headset units with a headset mic combo. Or if your mom's real big into comic books, check out Rick's Comic City. God, why do I keep getting it? Why do I keep hesitating on it? I don't know. But enter the code Weeby Geeks and you get 10% off your purchase. And I would say, it was an additional 50, but that's only good for one more day.
Yeah.
That'll be over by the time this airs.
That's probably true. So we do have some deals coming up, starting on Free Comic Book Day, which is coming up this Saturday.
Yeah. So
check the site and you'll figure it out.
So obviously, Marty, you go for Free Comic Book Day to Rick's Comic City.
Yeah, of course.
So Jules, why don't you plug where you go for Free Comic Book Day?
And I'm of the attic, and I will be actually working on Free Comic Book Day because I forgot to ask off for it.
Shame on you.
I'm so mad because I work 5 a.m. to 2, so now, it's basically my whole day. It's not like I can't do it in between.
Fame of the Attic's where? So our listeners know.
Green Tree, PA.
Okay. And I myself will be taking the family, and we're going to Coliseum Comics in Kissimmee, which their current location, because I guess they're getting ready to move their location about 2 to 3 miles down the road. So...
And if you are ever curious as to if you looking for a comic shop to go to free comic book day, don't know where one's at, go to comicshoplocator.com and they can point you in the closest comic book shop or shops in your area, help you out. See, you can also see on there which ones are actually participating in free comic book day as well. So,
true.
Because, you know, every comic shop does it a little bit different. So, you know, check with that comic shop to see how they do it. Most of them, it's pretty nice to actually at least make a $10 purchase because while the books are given to you for free, it does cost the shop a little bit. It's not free for them. So
always
to help bring you in the door and maybe get you interested in more comics.
Obviously, if you're picking up the free comics, give a little love back. Support the shop. So
plus I have like big sales. It's like Christmas, basically. Comic book Christmas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Only happens twice a year because the second time is Halloween Fest.
Yeah. But that was not as big. I don't know. Does your stores do much for it?
It's getting bigger, I think.
It's growing. Our store's done it for a couple of years. I know, like, a couple of years ago, they had reissue of Batman Long Halloween, and that was pretty cool. Your titles are more Halloween themed. Like that's when Batman Little Gotham was first introduced. Even though it was already out digitally, it got introduced. I think there, in print.
Thanks.
IDW did a Halloween issue of My Little Pony, which our store didn't have at the time. But yeah, I mean it's So we could do this one of two ways. I put out feelers for questions on Twitter. Either start with that or we go right into C2E2 recap. Which way you guys want to go?
Dun, dun, dun. Who's choosing here? I don't know.
You guys are.
Let's go paper, rock, Vulcan, or
rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Yeah. I can remember them all. Okay, since I've talked to you guys last, my son has discovered Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, I love that show. Oh, you know who Doofenshmirtz is now.
I do know who Doofenshmirtz is. I'm Swedish chef now, but so I was gonna tell you guys I know who you're talking about now, and also but yes. Now that I think about it, that joke that I was about to lead in is actually from an episode of Sonic, so I'm getting my shows mixed up, but there was like one where the robots are fighting and there's like, let's do rock I think it was like rock bomb Thursday to decide who wins. It's like Thursday's not even an object, how do you do, you know. So
what character is it you said you finally know who you're talking about?
Doofenshmirtz.
Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah, that guy.
The best character.
Is it just me, or does sometimes he sound like Charlie Day every once in a while? Like when he starts talking, like it almost sounds like Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philly, or
kind of,
yeah, or like Pacific Rim. He's got some stuff in that.
It's because he's constantly stuck with the Charlie Dayinator.
Yeah, it almost makes you think it is him, but then he kind of cuts out of it and gets away from that more so. So
yeah.
That'd be awesome. I think he does do some animation. Voices like producer for Unsupervised on FX.
So which way are we going? C2E2 recap or this question? Because we only got one tonight.
We only have time for one?
Well, no, we only got one tonight.
Oh, one question. I got you.
Yes.
One question, two answers. I say we can do C2E2 recap.
Okay.
Go ahead and do that.
Then let's start with the C2E2 recap.
All right. So this year it was, except Aljon from Tiki Room and Pro Wrestling Talk and several other, about half a dozen other shows on the Weeby Geeks Network. He lives here in the Nashville area. And then my friend Todd, who's never been to a big show before.
Wow.
He went to Wizard World when it was here in Nashville, but that was like really his kind of first show. So I was like, well, if you really want to go to a good show that has like lots of great art, because he's really into buying art and posters right now, you're like, you gotta come with me to C2E2 because the artist Allie, pretty good. So we get up there, have a good time. I haven't seen what the final numbers are yet, but this show has grown. Like the 2 years that I've gone before, I had no problems parking in the parking garage that's underneath where the convention's at. This year, every time we go to that lot, even try to go to that lot, it's either backed up or already full by the time we get there, and we're getting there like, you know, fairly early in the morning. So
wow.
The numbers are Saturday. Of course, was the biggest day. But Friday was actually...
Any convention's going to be that way. Yeah.
Exactly. But Friday was actually significantly busy. Like, I remember it being usually pretty sparse, but there was actually like really good foot traffic on Friday. Sunday was, of course, a lot of kids, and probably a little bit busier than Friday. So, yeah, like I said, I'd be curious to see what the numbers look like for this year. It's definitely growing as a show, and I want to say it may have even gotten like 10 or 15,000 more than last year.
Wow. Yeah, I'm curious to know with MegaCon as well, what our numbers from that. Friday, yeah, the slow day. I was surprised with Sunday at MegaCon that it, yeah, Sundays tend to be family day, I think with any convention. Because I know when Melissa and Zoe went with me to Star Wars Celebration 6, they went on a Sunday. They didn't go on with me Friday or whatnot. I see with Star Wars, a four-day convention is definitely a must. San Diego Comic-Con, I could see a four-day convention being a must.
New York Comic-Con's 4 days or two.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think, yeah.
Okay, so...
But, I mean, so it could be, you know...
So C2E2, yeah. Who is run by Reed Pop, who runs Celebration and New York Comic Con, it's only a three-day convention.
And I think it's just because that's what's pretty traditional. I mean, you do in the 4 days for, like, the really big shows, but C2E2 is starting to possibly get to that level of, well, maybe we could do a fourth day here.
C2E2, you have the comic studios of Marvel and DC there.
You have Marvel,
yeah.
DC is in there in panels and with some talent, but they are not actually there. Dark Horse actually was not there also on floor this year, notably.
I am surprised.
Yeah, a little surprised too, but they had some panels, so they weren't, you know, basically pulled to DC. I don't know what the story is behind that, if that's pricing or, you know, something else going on. But Image had a very, very large booth there, right in the front this year, so that was pretty, pretty strong.
Maybe Dark Horse still kind of... I don't want to speak for them, but yeah, maybe there's some animosity still with Marvel, considering to get the exclusive Barbarella cover.
Oh, no, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think that's, you know, the reason that they're not there is maybe, it's probably either, it's one of two things. It's either something to do with their negotiation with Reed Pop, or it's going to be something to do with a negotiation that they already had for, you know, another show that was going on that weekend. And I know there was, I'm trying to remember, I saw like a couple of tweets of some other shows that were going on at the same time. So it's, maybe they decided to focus their presence there more gotcha. That week. So, you know, it happens. It's not, you know, I would like to see at some point, well, it'd be a great coup in a way if C2E2 could get the top five publishers there all at one time, who get Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, Valiant,
I think the only time that ever happens is
New York, San Diego.
New York and San Diego, yeah.
But it could happen because, you know, I don't really know what the rationale for DC for not showing up every year, because this has not been a new thing. This is my third year going, and all 3 years they've never had a booth. So it's something to do with, I'm guessing, cost for what DC feels is what it's worth.
Well, considering DC just moved out to Burbank.
Exactly. So, but great, some great panels going on. I actually got this. Okay, this is how packed it was. It was, is it a Friday panel? No, it was a Saturday. It was a Saturday panel. Never had problems getting into a comic book sponsored panel. And there wasn't enough room in a very large room to get in for like Marvel's Next Big Thing panel. Like we missed it by probably 100 people.
Wow.
So it was like, you know, so there was a few panels and even like some of they had the women of S.H.I.E.L.D., like Ming-Na and Haley Atwell did a panel together. And that one was filled up. You had to get there early. Like Al Jon got there early and still didn't get in, kind of deal. So there were panels that were filling up fairly quickly with attendance, and they were using some of the larger rooms this year than they did in the previous years too. So
it's starting to get to that level where, like, I mean, because I know when we went to New York Comic Con, we like 6 hours to wait for a panel was nothing. That's like, you know. So
it sounds like
C2E2
to that degree.
Would be-
like, yeah, it's maybe to the degree of like, if you know it's going to be fairly well attended, you might want to get there at least 30 to half an hour hour. Just kind of depends on the, it really depended on the special guest, I think.
Yeah, depends on the panel. But yeah.
That, which is why it really surprised me why I couldn't just get into a regular old Marvel panel. You know, it's like, yeah. Just Marvel talking about, you know, the Secret Wars or what's coming up. Like, why is this packed out? Yeah. This is probably the least entertaining of all the entertainment people going on around here. And that kind of speaks well to what people were there for too. You know, people were there for the comics and I will say also for the cosplay, like how we always joke, like, you know, if it's not Harley Quinn, it's Deadpool. Those are the top two. Didn't see that as many Deadpools this year. And Harley Quinn is quickly getting replaced by Agent Carter. I saw a ton of Agent Carter cosplay this year.
We saw a few at MegaCon, but man, we saw a lot of Disney princesses.
Yeah,
they're coming
cosplay.
Back.
Cosplay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
it was huge with the princesses.
Yeah, especially on Sunday, because that, you know, the kids really respond to that too. But it's a good move for anybody cosplaying as the princesses then.
Yeah.
Got to see, I went to the Other Space panel, where it's a Yahoo TV series. I guess you call it TV if it's on the Yahoo screen.
Okay.
Download. Yeah. Same place that you can get Community, the new season Community. And it's like a space comedy series directed by Paul Feig and co-written by Paul Feig, who most of you know from, like, did Bridesmaids. It's going to be doing the new Ghostbusters, all ladies Ghostbusters. And then you also have Joel Hodgman from Mystery Science Theater 3000's in it. You won't recognize the names, and I won't try to butcher them because they are a little difficult to say, but you will recognize the people because it's like the AT&T commercials, where it's the guy that does the cell phones, where they're going around checking all the towers. You have the older white guy and the younger Indian guy.
Yeah.
The younger Indian guy is in this show. And then the AT&T commercials where it's back at the store, where I think it's like Liz, where she's got her blue shirt. She's interacting with the people, quirky. She's in the show too. So it's kind of like, you know, AT&T Rippers. But yeah, really, really funny, really funny show actually. And apparently they dumped all the shows on the screen and we watched the pilot there. And then they did like a Q&A afterwards. And it's a really funny show.
Cool. We'll have to see if we can try and get any of them on the show actually.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So. What other panel? I got to the one DC panel where I think you guys saw on Twitter where they were talking about upcoming stuff. And then Brian Azzarello came in at the very end and kind of burst out like saying, hey, in case you hadn't heard, I'm working with Frank Miller on Dark Knight 3. And everybody's like, what? Well, actually, the funny thing is, first he says, see if this means anything to you. DK3. And then there was like a pretty good, like, oh, you know, rumble around the nerds. And then there was like a really, you know, this reaction that you could tell he didn't know what that meant. And he was like, it means Dark Knight 3. And they were like, oh, it was like a bigger reveal. Like, oh, okay. So, people don't get the initial. I guess.
Yeah. Well, when Dark Knight 2 came out, it was known as DK2.
Right, right. Yeah, so I think that's why I thought it was pretty obvious to get, but not everybody. So
they haven't adjusted life outside the basement yet.
They didn't read that sequel. But it is intriguing to me because, you know, Frank Miller is attached to it. He's you know, working with Brian Azzarello.
Wow.
So I can only imagine the kind of story out of these two collaborating together, because I think
I'm almost afraid to know what the story is.
Yeah. What could it be?
Yeah. And how much Superman and Wonder Woman's going to be in it again? I mean, that was almost half of issue 2 or 3 of DK2 was the love story between Wonder Woman and Superman.
Now that I think about it, I was thinking about it. Like, I don't think I ever read DK2. I think I just I'll get around to it someday. And I just
I don't remember DK2.
See?
I remember they introduced what appeared to be like newer hero, like newer Batgirl, whatnot. I'm like, okay, so they could easily spin off a new series. They introduce the daughter of Superman and Wonder Woman, and you hear the explanation that the only reason why Lois and Clark didn't have a child is because she's human and
he didn't have any kryptonite condoms.
Apparently so. But being Kryptonian copulation would have killed her. So
he who said population.
Hey, trying to keep it as PG as possible.
Oh, you mean kryptonite condoms isn't going to do it?
No, that still keeps it PG.
Okay. It's a point across.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was trying to think of some. That, I mean, other releases that I know DC and Marvel had, most of it you could hear in previews. So I can't say there's anything too surprising, but that was one of the more surprising things that they announced, because that wasn't even mentioned anywhere else. I went to a panel with some of the Adult Swim guys, kind of talking about some upcoming things coming out of William Street, and the surprising announcement there was that they said that this will be the Aqua Teen Hunger Force Forever will be the final season of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is really surprising because that show has been on umpteen million years. It feels like not quite as long as South Park and Simpsons, but not too far behind them either. So I, for one, as a fan, am a little sad to hear that, you know. But what else? What other? I'm trying to think. The Artist Alley, again, just killer and huge, and so many people that were up and down there ran in. Got to talk to Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. Say hi to them. Thank them for coming on the podcast. And of course, they had some just beautiful Harley Quinn, you know,
yes,
art pieces, Power Girl, Batman, you know, just some beautiful stuff. So of course, you got to stop by and get some because it's on this high quality paper and it just looked beautiful. And you got Paul and the right sitting right next to him. I don't know if it was planned or not, but the colorist of the Harley Quinn book, Paul Mounts, was right next to him. So it's just, you just basically just go down the row with your Harley Quinn piece. Like, yeah, here you go, Amanda. Here you go, Jimmy. Here you go, Paul. Yeah, thanks. You guys do killer work. Thanks.
So, do they remember you?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They said it was a good time. I said that that was one of our favorite shows of the year so far.
Yeah, I told them we were 2 weeks too early with them, too.
Yeah.
Because they made the Power Girl and the Power Girl Harley and Starfire announcement 2 weeks after we did the show.
Right. Who else? Still didn't get the chance to talk to Art and Franco, because, man, those guys draw a line.
Yeah. And it's a shame they are stuck in Artist Alley for that.
Yeah. Where else can they go? I mean, that's where all the creators are at, though, is right there in Artist Alley.
Really?
Yeah.
So Jimmy and Amanda are in Artist Alley as well?
Oh, yeah. Like, everybody that's a comic pro is in Artist Alley.
That's New York.
Yeah. And if you're like a small-time publisher, some of them get thrown in Artist Alley, which to me can be a kind of a mistake, because I think you get overlooked because everybody's looking. When you're in there, you're looking for like stuff you know.
Right.
And I think if they get like a booth, like our friends from Piggy's Tale, they ended up getting a booth. And I think that I got to talk to Todd for a minute, and they said, you know, it was a really good weekend for them. And they said they had tried a booth at the New York Comic Con mid show or whatever. And they said they did really well there. What is it?
Special edition?
Yeah. So they did really well there. So they tried to booth here, and I said they did really well here. And I was like, I think that's the problem. Is as a small time publisher, you're just stuck in between too many names. So when you're kind of out there not amongst the names, then you stick out a bit more.
See, that's what I find weird, because with MegaCon, all your creators are out on the main floor, away from Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. So like Jimmy, you know, if they're featured comic guests for the weekend, I mean, they're out on the main floor. Now they have, you know, most of them are, like this year, they were in the center aisle, like the center 2-3 aisles of the show floor. So you knew you head towards the middle, and there's a huge, like, maybe a 4x4 block of four rows, four columns, or 4x3, and you got all your creators in that area. But, you know, very few were in Artist Alley. I mean, Alan Bellman was in Artist Alley, but I mean, majority of them, yeah, comic pros, they were out on the actual floor. So yeah, I find it confusing that they wouldn't be on the main floor or at other places either, that they're all stuck in Artist Alley.
I think it's good because if you're drawing that much comic talent, then you don't want to spread them out too far. You want to kind of keep them together. And a lot of them are there to sell, you know, a lot of them are artists instead of like just writers. Like,
right,
some of the writers kind of get lost in Artist Alley, or they're not really there at the at their tables that much anyways, because they don't have wares to hawk as much as an artist does. So they're doing panels, whatever. So they'll have some signing times. Like Mark Wade, I saw, had a spot, but it was hard to catch him. You know. But yeah, if you were like an actual artist and you want to be there on the artist alley to get like the commissions and things like that while you're there. So yeah, it was a little too tempting to not like try to buy everything, because
mm-hmm. yeah,
I love artist alley. It's my favorite part of the whole. And like, I have to make a game plan. So like, when we went to MegaCon, I knew like I had to get something from Scotty Young, and I had a feeling. I can't remember if I asked someone. Oh, I asked someone that had got one from him, and she said she paid like $80 for it. So I was thinking, well, between 80 and 100, that's what I'm saving up for him. You know, like, he is the first person I went to. But I mean, it's so, you could spend money so fast there. If you just go to tables, like even like people you're not familiar with, you see something you like Harley Quinn, you're like, oh, it's really cool. You buy it. And then next thing you know, you have no money left. And you're like, what happened to all my money? But
yeah, yeah. I ended up meeting an artist who's like stuff, you know, he had a bunch of prints that were just really nice, kind of this ink and color sort of mixture, a lot of heavy inks to it. And his name was Stuart Sawyer. And so I liked his prints. I was like, oh, that'd be pretty cool. And then he like pulled out this commission that he was doing for this guy of Moon Knight that was just fantastic. Like, blew me away. So I'm like, you know what? And he had like a Punisher already there. And I was like, you know what? This guy would make a really great Punisher. So I asked him to do like the Punisher skull for me as a commission. Came out fantastic looking. Ended up like finding out later that he self-published 3 comics from back in the day. And so I had to pick those up. And it was just like, I never heard of the guy before. And all of a sudden now I come home and it looks like I'm his biggest fan, because I've got, you know, 3 comics and like 5 pieces of his work to display in my house now.
Wow.
I didn't really spend much time on the entertainment side. Like, I just, Al John, his big goal was to go get his photo taken with Stan Lee, because he was in attendance this year. So he got his photo taken and did his Excelsior, you know, little Stan.
Yeah, I also saw he was with Rashiki at one point too.
Yep. Yeah. There are a lot of, like I said, a lot of wrestlers were out there, former wrestlers. Rashiki, Matt Hardy, Kevin Nash, the King, wow. Jerry the King Lawler was out there. That's just like off the top of my head that I can think of. There was at least a dozen of them that were around at some time. Wow. Trying to think. I mean, as far as like the show is run, I had no problems. Everything felt really smooth. The app that they give you, you know, worked properly, which is, you know, something that can't be said at all cons. and getting cell phone signal actually work. They actually had Wi-Fi. They were providing Wi-Fi at the convention, and it wasn't like, you know, bogged down like 90s internet.
Wow.
It was, you know, a little slow, but
wish I could say that with MegaCon.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, every time Tony says, yeah, we've got free Wi-Fi here, and there's like 40,000 people there, and it's like, well, you might as well just be like, you know, sending a carrier pigeon, because it's not going to get
fast. Well, I'll tell you, when the year Jules and I were both there, there was people going in with stuff to interrupt the signal and actually shut down signal for a while. So, and they finally got caught and arrested, but...
Why would you do that? That's just...
Because...
Being mean for being sake.
For the same reason why people are doing what they're doing in Baltimore. Being stupid.
Yeah, I got some reason, I guess.
So...
So, I mean, overall, it's another deal of I wish that time went slower, because I really felt like I barely got to enjoy everything and the weekend was over. But by the end of the weekend, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
It's just spent. Like I said afterwards, we got out of... We closed the show at 5 o'clock on Sunday. We packed up our stuff, started heading home. We got out of Chicago before getting a bite to eat. And we stopped at Culver's in some town, and we're just, all three of us are just sitting at the table, not really saying a word, chewing our food. It's like, man, this is just like the end credit scene in Avengers doing shawarma, because it's like nobody's saying a word. We're just kind of eating and trying to lick our wounds. we're just old men. Come on. Can't take all this hippity hoppity.
Cons are a lot of work. Like, I mean, when you're walking all over the place, you're basically on your feet the whole time burning calories, and then like if you do eat, it's really fast because you want to get to the next thing. So it's not like, and sometimes like I know when we went, we weren't eating healthy. We were just grabbing whatever if we were like really hungry, because I was more worried about like getting in lines and getting stuff done than eating. So like it really takes a lot out of you. It's like going to Disney.
My show diet this year was peanut butter crackers and trail mix and water. That was it. That was
it. Man, telling you, it's like, I actually, it's been a while since you've been to one of those cons, because Pittsburgh Con, oh, you can just, it's like so easy. It's like not, I don't really consider it one. So, but yeah, when we went, I mean, when we went to New York, we even had a hotel that was pretty close, but man, at the end of the day, like we would come back to the hotel and I just like would not move for like, like an hour. I was like, I can't move. I'm so tired. Like my eyes were all heavy and, oh,
it's like Saturday night for us. We were at Squared Circle having pizza and having a couple drinks. And I was like, all right, let's go ahead and head, you know, get home before it gets, or back to the hotel, whatever. And so I'm like saying in the truck as we're driving back, I'm like, hey, if there's somebody in the, at the hotel bar watching the game, let's stay in the bar and watch the game with us so we can like, you know, start some fun. And we got back to the hotel. And we're like, it's like a 20-30 minute drive away from downtown for our hotel. By the time we got back to the hotel, I was like, I don't even feel like hanging out at the hotel bar. I'll just go back and lay on my bed. I'm tired. Like all the rowdiness and energy that I had was just gone because I sat for too long. Oh, yeah. And I did. And Todd did want to tell you from Piggy's Tale. He did want to tell you guys said hi and that they miss Jules especially. Like, yeah, it's a little bit. Hi. Jules especially then.
Where's our swag, man?
I picked up. Oh man, they hooked me up, man. I got the first three issues of Piggy's Tale.
Oh wow!
With a nice Piggy's Tail shirt and lithograph. So yeah, and
sweet.
Of course they were taking donations for some animal relief charities.
It was probably what they're working on down in
Galapagos
or Dominican. Was it Dominican?
I can't regurgitate the exact which charity it is, but I do know it does deal with animals because that's what Piggy's Tail is all about. So I'm very excited to actually read those with my son for bedtime stories. Right now we're stuck. Like I got him as a bride going to spend time with grandma while daddy was gone in Chicago. I bought him this huge trade of Sonic the Hedgehog stories, which he's in love with Sonic right now. So we've been reading those, and those will probably actually take like 19 years for, because it's like thick. So we're reading just like a couple stories a night, and it'll take us a while. So after that, then it's going to be a Piggy's Tale, or maybe somewhere in between when daddy gets tired of repeating about Sonic the Hedgehog.
A Piggy's Tale is a pretty quick read, so you know, it'll only take you like maybe at the most 5 minutes to read the first one, so you'll be, you know, it's pretty good. I love that comic. So it's cool, you got to see them.
And I said issue 4 might actually be ready for, I think, New York Comics. Far away.
Nice. Yeah, they've been working, and then Ethan had his comic from Dark Horse. What was it? Nanjing? I forget.
Burning City.
Yeah. So he was working on that. And of course, he just had a baby, so he wasn't able to be at C2E2.
Right.
he's taking a little vacation and Najing. He deserves it.
Najing is Burning City.
Yeah. I think he actually said that should be releasing pretty soon, too. So put it out like this summer, maybe.
Okay. I'm trying to find where their charity is. I cannot find it.
I know he was like the founder of Darwin Animal Doctors. I'm not sure if that's the same one that they're...
That's it. Yeah. I don't remember where. I know is it the Galapagos or is it Dominican Republic?
I think it's Galapagos.
Because I thought they said they were translating Piggy's Tail into Spanish.
Yeah, he did do that.
So here's my thing. Todd, Ethan, if you guys are listening, and hopefully you guys are, shoot us a tweet or an email at weebiegeeks@weebiegeeks.net and help us fill in the information and we'll make sure we get it corrected next week.
Yeah, because we're just going to like tell some bold-faced lies like, Piggy can now do balancing tricks while at the shows and juggle.
He probably can. He's like amazing.
Yes. And Ethan has already drawn 10 issues of Piggy's Tail, but he's holding out for higher wages from Todd before he releases them. these are the stories we're going to go with until we hear him back otherwise.
And Piggy's been replaced by Ethan's son.
Piggy has been replaced by Miss Piggy. for the duration of the story, for the remaining issues, until the contract is negotiated. He demands a higher salary and better kibble.
It was cool that they hooked you up.
Yeah, it's good. It's good talking to you. I mean, it's Todd's like just like a really likable guy where you could sit there and talk to him, and it felt like we were old friends. So that was only like really this. Well, I talked to him on Friday and I talked to him on Sunday, so it's like, you know, the second and third time I've ever talked to him in my life. But we were like old chums.
They are two of the nicest people. Like, yeah. That I've ever met in
I would talk to him more on social media, but you know, it's so busy with my real life. I just don't have time for social media. I just really don't. You know, I barely keep up with my own personal social media. Twitter, forget it. I have done nothing with it forever. Facebook, it's hit and miss. So overall, your experience with C2E2?
Great. So I ran into no problems. We ended up finding a great parking spot on the second day. The first one, we parked a little farther away, but second day we found something pretty close. Ended up being no issue. The show just keeps kind of getting bigger and better. And like I said, every time we go, I look down at my clock on my phone, and it's like, holy crap, how did it get to be 4 already? You know, it's like the end of the day has already hit. And the first day, we hadn't even seen everything on the show floor, because, you know, and we tried. We went as fast as we could, but we couldn't see everything.
Wow.
Can't stop by every booth and talk for, you know, 5-10 minutes, unfortunately.
Right.
So it's got everything that you're looking for, no matter what you're looking for. So great show again. And I fully expect it, you know, to take another leap of another 10,000-20,000 next year.
So potential guest bookings for the future?
Possibly. I threw out some feelers to a few people. You know, we'll reconnect with them later and see if any of them are lined up for sure.
Cool.
I won't announce anything until, you know, something's a little more concrete, but it's good. I found a couple of them that some nice gems, I'll say. No, a couple of them are even, you know, people we don't know in the industry yet, but just really kind of intrigued me. So I'd like to give them some spotlight in it.
Cool. So, well, I guess we'll head back to Twitter to the question. This is coming from Reactor Radio. And their Twitter handle is @ReactorRadio. Their question is, what has been your favorite and least favorite Phase 2 film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
All right, you'll have to... The old brain's a little fuzzy, so you might have to remind me one's qualified for Phase 2 now.
Iron Man 3.
Is it all the sequels? Okay, Iron Man 3.
Yeah, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Age of Ultron, out yet.
I've seen it.
which I will be seeing at about this time tomorrow.
And Ant-Man, which hasn't come out yet either.
This is my happy dance. I know you can't see it in audio land, but I'm doing a happy dance because I get see Avengers.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it a little bit after you.
I'll be seeing it after next week's episode releases. Only because
it's pretty cool.
I don't get time off work between now and then.
The reason I'm seeing, like, the comic shop I go to and I work for part time, Rick's Comic City, he's doing like a special deal, like where he bought out a movie theater and then gave the tickets out to customers. So it should be a very mark heavy, you know, audience that we're watching it with, because they all come into the comic shop. So it should be pretty interesting. Yeah, so I'm stoked. But of those movies, which one have I enjoyed the most?
Yes,
probably Guardians.
Okay. Least?
Well, no, I might actually change it back, because Cap 2 was pretty solid. Yeah, I'm going to change it back to Cap 2. I almost forgot about Cap 2. Cap 2's favorite, Guardians right under it. Least favorite, Iron Man 3, probably.
Okay, what about you, Jules?
Well, I remember when I saw Iron Man 3, I was like one of the few that actually loved it. I don't know what it was about it. I thought it was really funny, and I always think when I see a Marvel movie like that, I'm like, oh, nothing else can top it. But that's really hard, because I've only seen it once, so like I feel like I need to rewatch it to kind of see where I stand with the other Marvel movies. So I only seen it once in the theater. I don't think we actually own that one, which is an oversight. But my favorite one is definitely Captain America. My least, I don't really have a least, because I loved Guardians. I loved Iron Man 3. What was the other one? Thor.
Thor the Dark World.
I guess I like the first Thor a lot better, so I guess the weakest link would probably be the Thor one, because I don't know. I liked it, but probably the one that I like the least.
Right.
Okay.
But that's hard, because, I mean, Marvel's really seriously been just
isn't it like picking your favorite child? It's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, I really like this one, but I really like this one, but... Yeah, it's and that's like a great thing to have. Like, imagine when we were growing up and you had to say, like, name your favorite comic book movie. And it wasn't that hard, because there wasn't that many good. Now it's like, name your favorite, you know, subset of comic book movie. Like, name your favorite Marvel movie. Name your favorite DC movie. Name your favorite, you know, offshoot, you know, secondary brand comic book movie. And it's like, or not even a superhero movie. This is a great problem to have, is all I'm thinking.
I agree. It's been, like I said, like every time I see a Marvel movie, I'm like, oh, the next movie, it's going to be really hard to top what I just saw. And then I see the next one and I'm like, oh, it's going to be really hard to top this one. Like, and we don't spend a lot of time watching movies, which we should probably start doing. So, you know, we'll usually see it in the theater and then like, we might not watch it again. Like I know I might not watch it again for a while. So like I've only seen Guardians once. So, but I know like that I remember how much I absolutely loved it and we own it. It's just that I just never, you know, haven't got around to actually watching it again. But so for me, I am just like really super excited. I'm hoping DC just brings us that joy too. But I don't know.
Yeah. You know, they've got to compete, but actually they don't have to compete for us, because you know what? Probably 2 weeks later we'll have another superhero movie or some sort come out with, or another genre movie. That it's a great time. It's a great time to really be a nerd and be able to consume all this, because it may not ever be this good again.
True. This is why we are the official voice of the Geek Revolution, as we so shamelessly plug.
What about you?
For me, favorite, Captain America Winter Soldier. I think that ended up being a unanimous decision amongst the three of us. I mean, Guardians, it was good. I think it was overhyped when they were saying this is the new Star Wars.
Did you get offended by that, Mike? Did
no.
you as a Star Wars fan, like, saying, wait a minute.
No.
Star Wars. I don't know why it sounded like that.
I didn't think there was any way it was going to try and compare it to Star Wars. I mean, you're talking apples and oranges here. I mean, in many ways.
New Star Trek, would that have been less offensive to you?
No. No, it still wouldn't work with that either.
The new Battlestar Galactica?
No. Lost in Space, maybe?
Okay. Ooh. The movie?
No, TV series.
TV show. Oh, okay.
Okay, movie. No, I mean, Guardians was really good. And I know it's part of Phase 2, but I'm still trying to figure out how it fits in the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And hopefully with Avengers Infinity War 1 and 2, they'll bring it all in.
Well, you know Marvel has been throwing out the hashtag it's all connected.
I know.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers especially, so you know that's probably a common thread. The movies,
did you guys see this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Negative.
I'm about 2 seasons behind on this show.
Me too.
Like me being 5 seasons behind on Game of Thrones.
Exactly. I'm even an episode behind on that, because I was, you know, at the con and dying from the con afterward.
Well, they definitely tied in this week's episode with Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. So without spoiling this week's show for those who haven't seen it yet, it starts to set up Age of Ultron pretty good. I mean, to the point, Coulson even says, I think we need to bring in the Avengers.
Don't you find that pretty cool, though? Because they did something similar when Cap 2 came out. I remember hearing that. They said that there was, like, you know, character says, I got to go catch a boat. And then in the movie, he's actually on said boat at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah. The sad part was they couldn't tie in Thor the Dark World enough. Oh, we're going to do one episode with an Asgardian who was never in the movie, who's not even a known character. And then, when the DVD Blu-ray comes out, we'll bring back Lady Sif. It's like, no, you should have had her the week right after Thor the Dark World.
I think they just kind of didn't probably get thinking about doing that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is the best we can do for right now.
But how they handled, because I guess the next three episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to still tie into the movie. But what they did with Captain America, with the whole uprising storyline, you know, Hydra's taking over S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else. Yeah, I mean, tie-ins both ways were amazing. So, but I found least favorite for me, I'm kind of split between Thor the Dark World and Iron Man 3. I mean, to me, Thor, sorry, Al John, but Thor I find boring. Even the movie, I found boring. Iron Man 3, there was a lot of plot holes. Now, here he is in the middle of nowhere, and the suit's not working. Yeah, he's got the implants, and all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, he can call all the suits. Well, if you had done that earlier in the film, you wouldn't be in the predicament you're in now.
He lost his belief, and he had to get his belief back that he could be Iron Man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I that was always my crack about Iron Man 3 while I was watching. I was like, you know, Iron Man 3, now with less Iron Man, because he really wasn't in the suit all that much until the very end. So.
Yeah.
Pepper
and
Potts.
And I think that was great. Do what?
I liked when Pepper Potts suited up. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I think for me, especially when they kind of teased how much they were carrying over from him going up and into the hole from Avengers, and then kind of, you know, still having flashbacks and freakouts from that event, from going, you know, and pretty much, I guess, dying as he fell back to Earth. I kind of wanted more of that, and I didn't feel like I got enough to really satisfy what
so,
I was looking for.
So the whole fallen angel thing?
Yeah. Like, you know, because it is almost like he almost crossed over into the... to the death side. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's... Now he can see dead people. I don't, you know. I didn't want that.
After eating
but I just
formal.
Wanted... Exactly. That's the secret. That's how you... Well, wasn't that RIPD? Wasn't that where if you ate curry, you can make the demons go berserk?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, don't watch that movie. It was not that good.
I did watch it. I don't remember. The sad part is I want to watch it again because I don't remember half of it. And I watched it. So, well, speaking of movies, Rolling Stone put out, this is probably going to be our last story of the night. Rolling Stone put out the 10 worst superhero movies of the last 10 years. Coming in at number 10, Daredevil.
Aww.
I'm like you, Jules. Like, I wanted to like Daredevil a lot, and there are some parts that really do, and, you know, thought that did well, but there were a lot of parts that did really wrong, too. So,
well, the sad part is, Daredevil's production budget was $78 million, and it made $102 million.
Ooh.
Yeah. In the number 9 spot, yeah, I agree with this one. Hulk, the Eric Bana one.
Ang Lee one.
Yeah. Production budget was $137 million. Its domestic total gross was $132 million.
It lost money.
Yep.
it was interesting. It was another one where I was like, I wanted to like it. There are parts of it that were good. There were also just too many more parts that were not good.
Yeah.
I think I can go for pretty much every comic book movie now that I think about it. Like, I don't want them to fail, but some of them just don't hit the mark.
Such as the one in the number 8 spot, Catwoman.
Ooh, that's only number 8? Only number 8? God, yeah.
Production budget was $100 million. Domestic gross was $40
That's crazy.
Number 7 is Elektra. Production budget was $43 million. Domestic gross was $24.4 million.
See, that one annoyed me because it never. Grant, maybe it was trying to get away from Daredevil. Notice two Daredevil, you know, characters.
Yeah.
In the top. But it never wanted to allude to itself to being connected. So
yeah, it totally separated itself from Daredevil, except for the brief flashbacks.
Like Daredevil, it was like Daredevil was the Highlander 2 of the Marvel Universe at the time.
Yeah. Next one is Fantastic Four, or the Fantastic Flop, however you want to call it. Production
Jessica
budget.
Alpha.
Yeah, the first one. Production budget was $100 million. Domestic gross was $154.6 million. So not really enough considering advertising budgets and everything else. It flopped.
Is this top 10 list by like how much money they lost or just by like how bad they were?
I don't think these are in any particular order.
Oh. Yeah, because Catwoman would be like way a little higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say the radio station that I originally heard this list on. I don't know if I garnered the same list. I know they tend to use Rolling Stone. They had Catwoman as number two. So the next one, Superman Returns.
Ooh.
Production budget was $270 million. Domestic gross was $200 million. And what's he doing now? Brandon Roth is the Atom.
Yeah.
And Bryan Singer is kicking butt with them new X-Men.
Yeah, I'm hearing Apocalypse might be the X-Men movies that are in production now are going to be the last ones that Singer's done.
Oh, right, with Singer. Yeah, I can see that.
The next one is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
It will test your head and your mind and your brain.
Not so much the brain part.
Production budget was $150 million. Domestic gross was $179.8 million. So it made some, but not really enough to make it a hit. Then they had go Last Airbender. Production budget was $150 million. Domestic gross was $131.7
million. I never saw that one. Did you guys see that one?
It's a guilty pleasure movie for me.
Yeah. I never watched the cartoon, so
I wasn't big on the cartoon, but I mean the movie interested me. If I see it on, I'll stop and watch it.
Was M. Night Shyamalan attached to that for some reason or something like that? Or no,
I don't think so. Let me double check.
I thought he was. Yeah,
that's probably
yes.
Why.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's M.
Night Shyamalan Ding Dong is associated with this Nickelodeon feature.
Yeah. He has a new TV show. Coming out actually, it looks
yeah. Like they okay. Wayward Pines. They did a little thing at C2E2 this year on Friday. All time. I did not go to it because I've been indicted enough already. I just feel burned. You know, I just Sixth Sense was great. Unbreakable was great, yeah. And then it's just like a steady decline. Like every movie after that just tends to get more and more and not interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the next one on the list, Green Hornet, 120
never
million.
Actually seen
120 million production budget, made 98.7 million. Hmm. And then the last one on their list, Green Lantern. 200 million. Domestic gross was 116.6 million.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, like last 10 years, 2005. I had one that popped in my head while we were talking. And I already forgot what it was. X3 could probably be thrown on that list to me.
Yeah. Now, I know the list they had, it must have been more than just the last 10 years, because their number one was, what was it? Jonah Hex.
Ooh, yeah, that was bad. Yeah, blocked that one out of my head. Ghost Rider.
Surprisingly, it was not on the list.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, I would take Fantastic Four and Superman Returns off of this list to put Ghost Rider and Jonah Hex in there. If we're just going by, like, pure entertainment value of these movies, not, like, how much money they lost.
Right.
Yeah, those would definitely easily make the list. X3, I would say, I would bump Daredevil. I would give Daredevil a pass, put X3 on there.
I love the Daredevil movie. I know. I need to rewatch it. I did watch it a couple times back before I really read any Daredevil comics, so it was kind of just like, you know, one of those just things that I thought was kind of fun. And I've always liked Ben Affleck, so I was like, all right, we'll see. But now watching, you know, of course watching the Daredevil show, which just like blew the movie out of the water because that show is so good.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. Like,
it could have been a movie almost, because they ended it basically, and I'm guessing because I don't think they thought they were getting a second season. I don't know that I didn't think they were getting a second season, but they're getting a second season. So, but the end of it is kind of like an ending, right. Kind of not really. Yeah. it wraps up the storylines and stuff, but yeah. So that definitely was good. I just like Daredevil. I'm excited for because of the show that came out now. Everybody, like all the creators, artists, everybody, they're all doing Daredevil sketches and everything. So it's kind of bringing him to a new light where he was kind of, you know, the movie happened, nobody liked it, and it was kind of like everybody kind of forgot about Daredevil, and now it's really big right now.
Right.
I mean, they even had that little, I shared it on Facebook, they even had that little toddler that was like Daredevil toddler, and he had like the black hood over his, or the black toboggan over his eyes, and he had like the black outfit on. Somebody dressed a kid up as Daredevil.
I saw a few cosplayers going Daredevil, and then also a few cosplayers that were going with like the I am not Daredevil shirt. Matt Murdock. I also it reminds me though, I need to tweet out and show you the picture of some of the one piece of original art I got that was based off Daredevil show. And it'll blow your mind and your wallet, at least my wallet. But it was worth it. It's great.
Talking about Daredevil getting renewed, it was just announced earlier tonight, again being Wednesday the 30th, or Wednesday the 29th, I'm sorry. Revenge got canceled by ABC.
I saw that. Was it canceled? Well, because see, they're like ending it. I mean, with these last episodes that I've been watching, and I actually thought last season they were kind of ending it, so.
No, it's canceled. After four seasons, Entertainment Weekly broke the news revealing that the season finale on May 10th will also function as a series finale.
Okay, so they're going to finish it up, I think. Because, I mean, I just watched a couple episodes, and it's really wrapping up all the storylines.
Well, as Melissa put it, she's not surprised, because how much more revenge can you get? Can you do? I mean, they've done everything.
You go back in time, and you can get revenge on the people that created the people that you're revenging.
Wow.
Are you telling me you built a time machine? Kind of a DeLorean?
Exactly. That's how you get there.
That show is my guilty pleasure. It's kind of like a soap opera, but it's not. It's like better, because I hate soap operas. So it just has like drama and, you know, all the stuff in it. And I'm kind of sad that it's going. But like last season, I was thinking they're going to end it because they're...
Yeah, they're wrapping it. Yeah. Well, they also started putting out like a little, like a revenge tie-in comic of some sort too. So
They did a I know they did the graphic novel, because I got that from Melissa. Yeah. So
it seemed like the whole company was kind of pushing on the show. And,
yeah. I wonder what happened.
But you know, I've heard there's some people at my work office that watch it, and they're like, you know, how much more can you do? And what, you know, isn't the show probably getting to the point where they're done? So you'd rather see it go out this way, possibly, try to stretch out another season.
Speaking of shows that aren't going to be anymore, my Precious Vampire Diaries, one of the main characters, and I'm not sure what the whole story is, but she's done after this season, which means I guess they're gonna do one more season after this.
Oh, the main chick?
The main chick, Nina Dobrev, yeah, she's gonna be done. So I'm thinking, you know, she's already a vampire. What are they gonna do? Like, are they gonna kill her off? What are they gonna do? They have to kill her off.
How many seasons of that shit? So
it'd be six, I believe, going into six or going into seven. I can't remember for next season.
I was gonna say it's had a pretty strong run, so I know.
I mean, I think it would have went on for at least two or three more seasons if she wouldn't have.
It found its niche when Twilight started. Twilight's done and over with, staked. Now it's time for Vampire Diaries to be staked.
No, Twilight is the.
I thought you were gonna mourn because I heard Ian Somerhalder just got married or something.
He did just get married to Nikki Reed. Like, I'm all caught up on that, and I was like, no, because I love him.
Next season will be season seven.
Season seven, yeah. We'll
be next year.
Yeah, right now, so
we're in six right now.
Yeah, this six should be ending soon, I think. I feel like I watched a million of them. But so, yeah, and honestly, there's been rumors because him and the main character that's leaving the show, they had something, they were together for a little while. And then I don't know what happened between them, but I think that has something to do with why she's leaving the show. Because she's young. She's only like probably 21 or two. I don't know how old she is, but he's probably older than me. So, and then he's getting married and all this stuff. So I don't know if she still liked him or what, but so I was like, no, she's ruining my show. Why is she leaving? Can't deal with this. So
anyhow, well, that's going to bring this week to a close. Any final thoughts from you guys?
C2E2's killer. Don't forget free comic book day this Saturday. So go check your favorite comic book shop to get yourself some free comics.
And hey, don't forget and spend some money there. Buy a statue. Buy a game that you haven't played before. Buy something.
Don't ruin Avengers 2 for me before I go see it, or I will pimp slap you. There's a lot going on this weekend.
The last track of the soundtrack is called...
I don't care about
that. No, I picked up the soundtrack because, you know, to try and have it for Mighty Marvel Geeks.
The last song is called Ultron Wins. No!
No, it's almost a spoiler, but it's a spoiler that I've called for a while now. I'll just leave it at that.
Jeff loves Iron Man.
I'll just leave it at that. So if you want to find out, you have to go check out the soundtrack or wait for the movie. So what about you, Jules?
Basically everything Marty said. I am going to see Age of Ultron 2 as well, I should say. And midnight showing. We'll see if I survive it. I'm going to be... Well, it's 11:30 show, so but by the time previews and everything...
Yeah, we're too old for midnight shows.
I'm too old for this, but I keep doing it.
I want to know how many people actually will survive the marathon, the Marvel Studios marathon.
Probably just started. Where they're doing all the Marvel movies in one fell swoop.
I think so. Yeah.
Starting with Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 1 to Hulk to Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, I think Thor, then Cap, then Avengers, and then Phase 2 leading right into, something like 32 hours of film.
Okay. I don't like being in. I worked at a movie theater, and I don't like being there that long. I just can't. 12-hour shifts at a movie theater were killer enough. I can imagine being in it one for 30 hours.
I can barely do it for one movie.
It's like, which movie do you pick to try and sleep through?
Whichever happens to air when you get really, really tired.
Thor and Thor 2. So, again, the show is not a reboot or a relaunch. It is just a Secret Wars conversions. So, on that note, this has been Mike, Marty, and Jules, and we'll see you guys next week.
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.